Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Let's give the background again. We said Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have something common. They present Jesus as God, right? And as man. And I said that is the characteristic of the Bible. Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And we said that in Matthew 22, verse 42, Jesus now asked the Pharisees a question. He only asked questions, but he now asked them a question. He said, the Christ, whose son is he? Of course, he said, David's son. They were correct, but not accurate. So he said, how then does David in the spirit call him Lord? And Jesus now referred to Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. That's arguably the most quoted Old Testament text. Till I make thine enemies your footstool. He said, if David calls him Lord in the spirit, how is he his son? Jesus didn't say he is not his son. The question is how. So I said the other day that don't just get used to conclusion. How did you get there? You know, some people will say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. It's a text. How? There's a how. How? How did you come to that conclusion? You know, it's like some people, I don't know whether you use this book, Nigerian Mathematics. Who used it? Or further math projects. They always have the answer at the back. So, if to rewawa, just write the answer. You know, I say, come and explain yourself. You go call hook. How? It is now the how. So, how is he his son? And they could not answer. So, he didn't say he is not his son, because he's actually the son of David. Matthew 1:1 calls him the son of David. So, now, let me now a bit go further. So, when we say God inspired the scriptures, how? You know, there's really how. And inspiration is not an aha moment. You know, an aha moment. Hey, I write it. We act like the way the scriptures was written, God just grabbed the hold of someone's hand. There's people today that believe that Jesus sat Paul down and was teaching him. How? And we write it. I, Paul, an apostle of... Jesus said, Paul, write, hi, Paul. No. So, this will lead us to something very crucial I hope I'll have time to explain today. That man is God's method. If you miss man, you will miss God. It is something that humbles me all the time. It's the fact that man is God's method. And I'm saying a man like you and I, who will remain imperfect. This is Power City, so let me say something that might have been controversial elsewhere. If man is God's method, right? And man is not perfect, you don't expect that all the four gospels will get the events perfectly. So that should not bother you. I can only say that kind of thing here. Do you understand? Because I know you will not abandon the faith. You know, Mark can say it is in the morning. That's how far he can remember. Luke will say it's in the afternoon. Now, which one will save you? But it shows you how human the writers are. God's inspiration does not remove humanity. No, it doesn't. So, it is possible that an event is recorded differently. It's very possible. In fact, there was something that Stephen said in his sermon. Stephen said in his sermon, and it was not correct. And those who translated the Bible left it that way, so that you will know. Now man, write them. It was not correct. In his sermon. You know, if they were trying to do something else, they would have corrected it for him. No. He leaves it that way. So, God and man will always work together. And like I said, if I don't do it tonight, I'll do it in the evening. I'll show you something. And you must follow that pattern in studying God's word, not just that, in how God leads you. Right? That is why there is no such thing called personal relationship with God. It's a myth. When you got born again into a body. God makes, in fact, let me divert a little bit and I'll say something. From creation. You know, it is possible for God, I know I said this last year, I want to repeat it again. It's possible for God to make one kind of man, so there will be no need for father and mother. Right? Have you wondered why he does that? Father and mother. And it's also possible for him to ensure that we all appear in the earth at the same time. So we'll be happy. I'm not expecting anybody again. So, no male, no female, no father, no mother, no. And which means that it's also possible for me to want to have a child. No, that's not serious. I'm not serious about that. Because you can have what you say now. Amen. If you don't know what, I'm talking about, just forget about it. And then you now say, child. You know, it's very possible. But you know what God did? He split humanity into two and made us deficient by default. Nobody is complete. I'm not saying I'm complete in Christ. You are not. That's why you are here. So you are deficient by default. This shows you. Now he now splits humanity into two. Puts the egg in someone. Puts the sperm in another person. That's why those people who do gay, after all their shakara, they go look for a woman. Yeah, I don't think I'm a male. I know I have a body of a male, but I feel I'm a female. No problem. Keep feeling. Then they will now marry a fellow male. That thing is demonic. They now marry a fellow male. They now want to have a child. That feeling doesn't help them. They will now go and get a real woman. A surrogate mother. How come you could not produce a child from that feeling? Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no way you can alter it. Like I was telling somebody 2 days ago. I said, you know, as good as science is, God don't show us and he creates the world. Have you observed it? Uh-huh. After all the innovations, they're saying, hey, there's a climate change. So you can't predict again. Nobody will get the earth. Do you understand? There's a person who will get the earth. And he go, they show you every time, say, now you be creature, now he be creator. You know, once in a while, I will just show you. I told you. So, what does he do? He puts humanity, splits us into two. So, if you want to reproduce yourself, you will need a relationship. You need to learn respect, honor, right? Walking in love, forgiveness. So, which means God is big on relationships. Are you following what I'm saying here? He puts what you need in someone else. And that goes everywhere. Even when he became a man, you know that he didn't come complete. Did he come with breast milk? Oh, you thought he did. Did he poo? Did he fart? Once in a while, Mary will smack him. Oh, Jesus, behave yourself. So, you will always need relationships. The fact that you came into this earth through someone means your life will be tied to relationships. I mean, somebody that just showed up and said, what's the family name? God. You know, I remember, this is a small joke. You know, when we were younger, and we want to, and we had issues with our parents and the gospel. And one of these we tell our parents is, look, God is my father. God is my father. And you say all stuff like that. And you still go back for cookies. So I now had a disciple who told me that was what he said. I said, yeah. What I was thinking of was, ha, you told your dad that. Say, yes, sir. They can't threaten me with that. I want to serve God. I knew it was going to be my responsibility. So I quickly said, oh boy, let's go apologize. He's like, one guy, he said, he asked his daughter, to bring the guy she wants to marry. So the guy came and he said, okay, leave me with him, let's talk. You know? And so when he was done with the guy, the girl said, Daddy, what's your impression about, let's say, James? He said, I asked him, where are you guys going to live when you marry? He said, God will do it. I asked him, so how are you going to take care of your wife? He said, God will do it. Everything I asked, he said, God will do it. I said, Daddy, what do you think? He thinks I'm God. Oh, you got the point, right? So, we always need relationships. Is that very clear? So, God made it that way. That is why judging people is actually hypocritical. That's why Matthew 7:1 says, judge not that you be not judged. But the measure of judgment you meet out of that will give it back to you. And look at a typical person. David, the man after God's heart. And this was a guy who, I mean, David is Abraham Deo, but David is actually the character that Jesus stood in his place the most. His name, where he was born, everything on the cross. Look at Acts 2. When Peter was going to preach from the Old Testament, he quoted David the most. Same as Acts 1. That same David, you know, he has something very funny. Very brash. He used to react very fast. There was a time like that he was going to go and just clear one. Abigail said, relax now. I said, you saved me. It's good to have a wife like that. He said, you saved me. I would have just cleared everybody. He was just like that. So one day, 2 Samuel, verse 11, he didn't go to war. In fact, the writer of Samuel was very, very apt. Writers of the Bible are interesting. He said, everybody had gone to war. He did not go. He even explained it, that he stayed back home. Baba is not doing ministry. Baba is busy enjoying life. So he had time to look at the swimming pool and saw a dancer. He saw her washing naked. That's browsing today. You don't have to go to any pool. Just check the internet. You will see all of that. Sin has come to us. You don't need to go to a video club. You will check just. In fact, they will even give it to you. Reels. Don't be so. Guard your heart now. You don't need to go anywhere. It's where you are. There can be people closer to you that you have not seen than those who are with you. What is like that? We are home. None of us were in the sitting living room and we're not talking to each other and we're all with our phone. So I say, hey, what's going on here? Are we tired of ourselves? Oh, yeah, you put on your phone. Let's decide whether we want to still be a family. We are all in the same place and we are talking to different people. and we're all here, and you think we're together. We're not together. And somebody's laughing. I will now call the person. Where I say, Craig, he says, yes. He's focused on somebody else who is not in the room. So we have to know how we deal with the internet. Let me get back to David. So David now saw her. Of course, eventually he plotted. Well, you know, sin is very interesting. He plotted. It was strategic. And that guy, Uriah, was very loyal. He said, come back. He said, no. So he died for that purpose. So when he was done and took Bathsheba, the second Samuel 12, the prophet now came to him and gave him a small parable. That there was a rich man and a poor man. The poor man had a kid, and the land, rich man took it and all that. David just said, that man is worthy of death. He's worthy of death. Then he said, the man was without fault. The Nathan said, Your Excellency, thou art the man. He was quick to judge. You are also a man. You can err. He was quick to judge. And you know something? That judgment he gave, that the man will restore fourfold, David actually bore that judgment. He lost four sons. The way you judge people, you will receive exactly what you said. For he didn't stop God from using him. God used his kingdom, raised his Messiah through him. That one, but that judgment that you quickly commented on Facebook, sent a Twitter, you will take it. Luke 6:38. Give. Okay, it's not offering, no. It shall be given back to you. In that sense, good measure. That's judgment. Press down. Shaking together and running over. Shall men give to your bosom. With the same size, say, be merciful. James said, when you are judged, that's James. He said, be merciful in your judgment. James 2:13. Be merciful. In judging people, be merciful. Because don't forget, we are all beneficiaries of God's mercy. All of us. So look at how David, quickly, he judged. Don't be quick to judge. Many times, people are in situations that if you found yourself in it, you'll have done the same thing. Even worse, sir. You know, I was counseling somebody who had a problem with homosexuality. And you know who made him an homosexual? It will shock you. His father. His father was the one who first of all had sex with him when he was 9. So the guy falls into sin. They are saying, I doubt whether you have the life of God. That means you are not smart. How many things that you were doing before you got born again have you changed? I know you all went quiet. How many things have you? You. New creature in Christ. You are not saying that kind of thing. You will walk the person through it mercifully. Be merciful. Don't judge people. And you know, we're in a generation that people cancel people, expose people. Don't join those kind of things. Be merciful. Because any judgment you meet up, including things you liked on social media and commented, or WhatsApp, they send it across to you, say, hey, you send it to someone else. Can this be true? Say, the same measure remitted back to you. Let me get back to what I was saying. Hope that blessed you. So, now, if we know that that's the nature of Scripture, God used men. God has not written a single word in Scripture. Men wrote it. He relied on men in spite and despite of their imperfection to scribble his words. So when he says, how is he his son? They went quiet. How is he his son? So I said that God works through relationships. He will put what you need in someone else. He will expect you to be in relationship so that thing that you need is with someone else. We'll see that also later. So in Matthew 28 and 20, he said, lo, I'm with you always. So Matthew establishes two things. He's God and he's man. So he's God, undeniable, unchangeable. He now became man. Lo, I'm with you always. Mark does the same thing. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark 16 and verse 20. They went everywhere preaching the word, and the Lord walking with and confirming the signs with signs following, which means that he's established as God and man. Luke does the same thing. Luke 24 and verse 49, where Luke spoke about Jesus and said that he said, behold, I set the presence of God upon you. Signs of Jesus in verse 49, to be a new power from on high. So he establishes him as God. John 1:1, the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. John 1:14. John 20:22, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And we said that that word breathe on is the exact word used for God in Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. John is therefore establishing that Jesus is that God of the Old Testament who has become the man. Is that very clear? Now, so where did Israel miss it? They couldn't fathom his humanity. It was just as human. Notice something also that happened to Mary. And that is why we must be careful with familiarity. Extremely careful. We must be. Some told me that, well, I don't want to move close to the man of God so that I will not become familiar and then lose the sense of honor. I said, that's carnality. You are trying to cover up a carnality. You don't have to. The first time in my life that I got into a trance was a friend. Two of us, like we're friends, we talk, we're practically intimates. But I knew that the hand of God was upon him. When in secondary school, one day, he had this, we had all known him, anyway, everybody knew him. Teacher, everybody knew that. We respected him. So we had a school close by called Queen's School in Ibadan, and she was having mental issues. They now ran to our school to look for him. And they said he saw it, that he can't go, that because he has an assignment to do, you know, and all that. He said, okay, we'll pray on a cloth. You should take it to the lady, and that's all. And as soon as the lady saw the handkerchief, she was well. So we all knew. It's not. So one day he now took us to Grey House and he just said to me, then I used to use a very thick glasses. I could practically not see something right before me. He said, I know you got today. We're friends. So we came to the place as friends. But the moment he stood in his office, we're no longer friends. He said, I'm going to make sure that you see today. That's how, he was just joking. He removed that thick glasses. This used to shine like this. He removed it. He said, start to see where from today. That's how I got healed of it. And they laid hands on me. And I went into a trance. They carried me to the room. And I was there for several hours. We're friends. Now, did I know things about him that made him very human and he made mistakes? Many things. But how does that affect me? Are you with me? It has no effect. Because usually we forget things quickly. Let me give you a typical one. Who needs to convince Mary that Jesus is God? Nobody now. Because the angel spoke to her directly. No intermediary. Right? And Elizabeth even said it, that the mother of my Savior. Do you understand? But you know that. Yeah, when she's like, oh, my soul does magnify the Lord, my spirit praises, and she went on. By the next chapter, she was looking for him. She don't forget. 12 years don't pass. She had breastfed him. She had cleaned his wee-wee, his poo-poo. She had brought, Jesus, stop this now. I'll smack you in Jesus' name, oh. He must have cried at night and woken her up. I know what mothers pass through. And said, you this child, you will not allow to see. After a while, you know, that God thing will have gone away from her mind. Because he's just as human. Sir, why are you crying again? I thought you just ate now. Bah! She beat the Lord God. So after a while, you know, it's very easy for her to forget who she gave birth to. So when they didn't see Jesus in Luke 2 at 8:12, they were looking for him, looking for God. God don't miss. She was looking for him. She had practically, the thing had gone. Because experiences have a way of fading away. You can only sustain experiences by the word. So they were looking for him. And they said, where are you? Where are you? I'm not for this. Where are you? And the way Luke wrote it was like, they were very sharp. Where did you go to? Like, where did you go to? Why are you stressing us? Why are you? Sir, why are you bothered? I'm about my father's business. Luke did not even stop there. Luke lets us know that Jesus sat down in verse 46 of Luke 2 and 47, learning from the doctors of the law. You think he just came with the word? No. The way we are seated this morning is how Jesus learned scripture. He was asking questions. He was receiving answers. You know, when you sit like that, it's not likely you will think he's still God. He's taking notes. God? No. He's asking questions. When Jeremiah said this, what did he mean? Not God. Because he actually became a man. Luke 2:40 says he grew in wisdom. He grew. Luke 2:52 says he grew in stature. So he grew. He grew the way you are growing. So when they came and they said, I'm about my father's business. Joseph did not even say it. Just said, let's go. But the Bible says Mary kept those sayings in her heart. You know, his brothers mocked him and said, you, who would believe you? So he was just a human being. His neighbors and family in Mark 6 says, who gave you this kind of wisdom? Why do you think they were talking like that? Because he was a human being. But therein lay all of God's plan and purpose for man. So if you miss man, you miss God. Do you know that many things people are praying for, the answers are in relationships? Are you with me here? One day, she hadn't seen Jesus for a while. You know, the first one, because he was 12 years old, they could bring him back home. She now went to church and stayed outside the gate of Power City. Please, usher, go tell Pastor Jesus. Mommy is here. Mommy wants to see Pastor. Usher too had demerity. Pastor, Mommy is here. She really needs to see you. Why would she do that? Again, the thing don't fade. Jesus said, who is my father and mother? He said, this one's here. You know, in his resurrection, Mary became part of the church, pastored by Jesus' disciples, who now were able to tell her more things about Jesus than she did not know. Are you here? So, which means that man is God's method. He showed it in his own humanity. You will miss it easily. That's what Brother Hagin will say. While we are looking for the spectacular, we'll miss the supernatural. The supernatural can be so simple. Do you know that sometimes the way God talks to you is in a someone's conversation? Person will just say something, and you know, that's God talking to me. Who's following what I'm saying here? Good. So, the scriptures are written 100% God, 100% man. But God uses human vessels, including their culture, language, and the context of their worlds, to communicate his own plans. If you miss them, you miss God. So, that is why we are emphasizing in this meeting that discipleship is practical. It's an everyday experience. It's a practical thing. Making disciples of all nations is not just teaching. There is an experiential thing. Do you notice that? It's in the book of Acts that the word, apart from the four gospels, the word disciples is used very often. We want to see the meaning now. Disciple is not somebody that you teach every day alone. No. We said discipleship has a two-way approach. By precept, just like we're doing this morning, and by example. Some things are taught. Some things are caught. So pass that to one side. Why did God give us the Holy Spirit? We said, so that it will take our theology from information to everyday experiences. John 14, 12. He that believes in me, the works I do, he will do also, and greater, because I go to my Father. Some good old believers, God bless their darling hearts, and their Brother Haley was a stupid head. They will say that the word works there refers to conduct. Let's see how it goes. He that believes in me, the conduct that I do, he will do also. And greater conduct. You know, it sounds stupid. Because they want to downplay the miraculous through believers. Like I told someone earlier this morning, I even posted on my Facebook, that some believers say, you don't believe a believer can lay hands on the sick at will. That God has to tell you specifically. There are two kinds of unbelieving believers. Some will say that they don't believe that God does miracles again. Some will say he still does it, but he chooses the moment such that he's the one that will initiate it. He will let you know, Shegun, I want someone's headache to be healed now, but he is in Calabar. You will go there, go and meet him, lay hands and ask for my mercy. That's how he is. That's how they think. I say, it's a side of the same coin. Now, you don't believe that I can just say, oh, you're not feeling fine. And just pray for you. You don't believe I can do that. I can't heal by at will. But when you go to the doctor, is it not at will that they administer medicine? Did they say, oh, it's not my will? So the point is that you actually have faith in doctors more than you have in believers in the power of God. Are you following what I'm saying here? So the works I do, he will do. And greater than this, because I go to my Father. He said now that whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Men and brethren, that is practical. Which means that there are results that should be seen. Don't be against results. See, let me say something. I know that some people have, you know, there can be two extremes. I mentioned that the other day. Some people believe that, oh, no, no, the results of ministry is when people gather and they have crowd and all that. And they say that's the result of ministry. Now, they are wrong. Because the crowd can be an unbelieving crowd. They can be an untaught crowd. Now, don't drift into another extreme and say it is not about crowd. You will have what you say. Say it is about crowd, but the right crowd. Don't talk down on crowd. So, there's an extreme. Do you understand? Uh-huh. So, those things about crowd, any kind of crowd. Mm-mm. God wants numbers. Who believes? He wants the whole world. So he is not against numbers, but he wants people filled with his word and his spirit. Does it make sense? Now, so there's practicality. In John 15 verse 1, he said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Unfortunately, the English Bible says that he takes away. So people assume it's loss of salvation. No. The word is iro. It means he takes to treat. He takes care of. Notice the point. That does not bear fruit. He said, now, the one that stunned me, I will say, I'm still stunned. He says, the one that now bears fruit, he will still purge and prune so that he can bear much more fruit. So fruitlessness is a curse. I'm using a strong word deliberately. You must bear fruit. And bearing fruit is multidimensional. It also includes reproducing yourself. Am I making sense? Bearing fruit. See now, the one that is bearing fruit, he will still purge. Look at the strong word, and prune. You know, purging and pruning, if you are into farming, is a strong word. You cut, correct. So which means that if your church, your fellowship is growing, everybody is coming, and pastor says to you that, no, you should do more than that. Make sure that, he's not even commending me. That is the job of the husbandman. He will still correct you so that you will bear much more fruit. So, being laid back, being contented, being satisfied is not part of the work of the ministry. You must always go for more. Are we together here? The works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than this, because I go to the Father. The works. And that word works there, remember yesterday I gave you two Hebrew words in Psalm 103 verse 17. Moses knew his ways, Israel saw his works. I said the word works is alalia, which means deed. It's the same word that Jesus used here. The works. Egon. E-R-G-O-N. The deeds that I do. Acts of power. Should he do. Now, what was the source of that? Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. John 1:33-34. John said that the Holy Ghost was on Jesus. He that you see the Holy Ghost stay upon and remains is the same one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. John 1:33-34. So no doubt, the Holy Ghost, right, and his manifestation was the ministry of Jesus. Is that very clear? Good. So now look at that John 14. He says, either to you back unto my name, ask. Then he now said, no, that's what he said. So he that loves me should do my commandments and all that. Then he says in verse 16, I will pray the Father. And that's a continuing conversation. Because the works I do, you will do, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Excuse me. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it is not, you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Now, look at what he said. The works I do, shall he do also, because I go to my Father. Whatever you ask the Father, I will do. Which means that Jesus is going nowhere. Are you following? So how does he dwell with the believer? By the Holy Ghost. Is that very clear? Yesterday we said, who is the comforter? We said, there is no comforter, is Father, Son, as we can remember that. Uh-huh. So that means the Holy Ghost is given to us, can we say, to reproduce the ministry of Jesus. Is that very clear? So, to reproduce the ministry of Jesus, to bear fruit, to have works, So, having seen that, we'll repeat what we said earlier, that the Holy Ghost is given to us to take our theology from information to everyday experiences. Now, look at what Jesus now did. According to Luke, Acts 1, 2 and 3, upon his resurrection, he taught his disciples for 40 days. Taught them. Luke 24, 44 and 45, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures well. But notice a critical ingredient. A critical ingredient. In Luke 9, 2, he said, he gave them power and authority over to cure sickness, over demons, and to cure sickness. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So which means that even though they watch him teach, and we can assume that they knew what to teach, why did he now give them power? Are you following what I'm saying here? Let's say it again. He had been teaching. They had been seeing him teach. They saw him teach. They could say they understood his teaching to an extent. I mean, Matthew 7:28 says that there was a way he taught. People were astonished at his doctrine. They saw it. Matthew 7:28-29. So they saw it. They saw his teaching. So when he was going to send them out, did he just give them teaching? No. He also gave them what? In Matthew 16, when he said, now, who do men say that I am? Verse 13, Peter said, some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Some say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. So who do you say I am? Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father is in heaven. Pay attention now. He says, I say also unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, he now said, I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever things you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever things you lose on earth is loose in heaven. Now, I dare say, and I say it oftentimes, that the word keys there is misplaced. It should be key. Because of the way English translations write, people are saying, we have five keys of the kingdom. Blood of Jesus, Holy Communion, and this one. I mean, don't listen to anybody, but if it has been key, you'll have seen what is it. Now, a key, if you read scriptures coolly, you see that obviously Jesus was referring to somewhere in Isaiah 22, verse 22. Because I will give to you the key of David to build the house. So it's about building the house, God's tabernacle and all that. In Revelation 3:7, said, I'm he that has the key of David, and who opens a door and no one can shut it. Who shuts a door and no one can open it? Are you following what I'm saying here? So, key therefore means authority. Does it make sense? Good. Now listen very well. What exactly is that authority? I will give you the key. Can we say I'll give you the authority? Okay? Luke 10:19. I give you authority over serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. No shall have any sort of you. So let's find out, what is this authority? Is it the teaching he gave them? No. Are we here? Because already Peter had revelation. And accompanying that revelation, he said, I will give you the key. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you lose will be loosed. Who's following what I'm saying here? So what did he give them? Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Was this after he had taught them? Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 1:5. Wait for the promise of my Father, which you have heard of me. John indeed baptized with water. Verse 5. John indeed baptized with water, but in not many days he shall baptize with the Holy Ghost. So it was very clear that there was the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Acts 1:8, Luke 24:49. So which means that, pay attention to what I'm about to say next. In Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them in my... Now listen to this. Now, in the Old Testament, they had different ways. You know what we call AKA, also known as... Are you here? There were things they used like God's aliases. When they said the glory of God, they are actually talking about God. Right? Another one. You know, we saw the word of the Lord. Can't remember that one. And when they said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Or they say in Deuteronomy 12, verse 5 and 12, he said, I will take you to the land where my name will dwell. Now, if you think the name he's talking about is that he's going to, you just write Jehovah there. So, name is another meaning of my presence. So, when you say the name of the Lord, is it the same as the presence of the Lord? So, when it says in my name, you shall cast out demons, does it mean when you mention Jesus? No. In my presence. Because he had given them what? Do you understand? In my name. It's not by mentioning the name. The giving of the Holy Spirit is the name of Jesus. That's why I said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. So, he is synonymous with his name. Does it make sense? Does it make sense here? So, when he says, in my name you cast out demons, can we say by the Holy Ghost? Yes. Right? By my presence. Huh? Lo, I am with you always till the end of the age. So therefore, when Jesus said, I will send the promise of my Father upon you, he wasn't referring to someone else. He will dwell with the apostles, the believers, to continue his own ministry. Eventually, it is his ministry. Are you here? Good. So, which means that discipleship or teaching or training people properly includes experiences. There are things to be taught. There are things to be caught. Don't forget this phrase ever. Things to be taught. Some things are taught. Some things are caught. Let me ask you a question. If you attended Jesus' 40-day teaching, right? Let's call it our own 30 days of glory. It's similar. Then, pastor gives you an instruction and says, wait in the, is this children's church? Wait in the children's church. There will be, there will be a ministry that will take place. Let's assume that's what he said. They have been taught, right? And he says, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Now, you followed the teaching. You understood what it means for the name of Jesus. You got all the teaching. You got the tapes. You listened. For that day that he said you should tarry, you went to watch a Chelsea game. That is an unpardonable sin. It's not just the fact that you were not there. It's where you were. Don't forget this illustration. It is everywhere. You now did not show up on the day of Pentecost. You went for wedding. You know, you will only be able to describe what happened. You don't know what happened. The day of Pentecost was not a teaching meeting. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And suddenly, there came a sound, Acts 2:2, from heaven, out of a rushing mighty wind. It is better felt than felt. You know that grammar? It's better felt than felt. There was someone like that. I told you the other day. He said he does not believe. You know, when it comes to doctrine of speaking in tongues, he will explain it. I mean, we engage and all that. He's not a charismatic, but he's a very liberal, non-charismatic. So he will explain. But he says that, Chris, I don't believe that. The speaking in tongues that is in the body of Christ today is the one in the Bible. I said, have you seen the one in the Bible? He said, no. And you are a confused person. The one you can see, you say it's not true. The one that is true, you cannot see it. You are living in an illusory world. You just don't want to admit that these Pentecostals are right after all. Do you understand? Because you think that, because you are sound theologically, you think that they need that soundness to have the experience. They don't. All of us here got born again without sound doctrine. We spoke in tongues. You now got to understand it later. Now, does it mean that we should abandon sound teaching? No. We are going to have both. It's not either or. It is this and that. So you miss the day of Pentecost. But you understood the teaching. They said, you shall receive power. I said, that word power, dunamo, receive, is the word what's it again? Lambano. Kata lambano. The word enduo means to wear. And it's good to have such words. One time like that, I went to preach in a country that I didn't know it was cold. So, you know, every preacher has to be smart. So, usually I used to remove my suit when I'm preaching. I learned that from some people. I just remove my suit. No, I was not talking about him. Oh, I know he does it, but no. About you, people should be, I should pray for you. God will judge you. I wasn't talking about you. You know, so I just remove my suit. I said, you know, something. I was not used to it. Whether you know, just a culture. I just removed it. Then I started feeling the cold. I said, so I said, ah, how do I get around it? I said, turn your Bibles quickly, Luke 24, 49. I looked at the scripture quickly. It's going to edify anyway. That word, right? Endure. It actually means to wear something. Give me that verse. Let me see. Endure. You think you're in Lagos? Well, you can remove your suit at any time. Endure. So, as soon as you understood that word, I said, the word name there, onoma, it means representation, presence. But day of Pentecost, you went for a birthday party. All your endure is just academic. This is the endure. So, which means I should see in the Word of God information and instruction. There are two different things. Yesterday night, Doctor was emphatic on the word instructions. And I noticed that Dr. Gabriel said the same thing. Now, this is how to know the Holy Ghost. When you see a recurring word, that's God talking. Dr. Gabriel said it twice. Doctor repeated it last night. That is how to know that this meeting is about instructions. That's how God talks. So, are you following what I'm saying here? That is the Holy Ghost talking. It's about instructions. So, I must be here to receive instructions. Instructions are like commandments. They are like, what do you call these things in machines? Command words. It's like, boom. Instructions. So, and the life of a minister is in instructions. You know, 1 Second Timothy and Titus didn't have any deep information. It was just, do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. So, that means in being trained and discipled, we follow instructions. We said it's practical. It's practical. Look at what he said. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem. That means there is a place you must be. Assuming you said that day, I don't believe that God has to be in one place. No. God is everywhere now. Why should I go to Jerusalem? I'm going to Judea. I will stay in Samaria. I believe God. You just believe there and you have missed it. If you were not there, you were not there. And Luke says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like as if a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house. That means he was not there. Where they were seated, he wasn't there. So everybody there could describe it. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. And he sat upon each of them. Acts 2:3. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 4. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Practical Christian living. So, are there experiences to the Christian faith? Is it a major part of the Christian faith? Yes. I dare say, it will get to a time, even in the work of the ministry, when as you are teaching, you are explaining through everyday experiences. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you must not run away from those experiences. And I trust God, we're going to practicalize something that I believe we're going to do. So, they saw it. Everybody saw it. Those outside did not know what happened. It's so funny that people are taking their theology from the comments of those who are outside. How would you rest your theology on what the mockers were saying? So you say, on the day of Pentecost, they were speaking in people's languages. Where did they get it from? From those who were outside. The man inside. Right? The man inside. What did he say happened? Or anyway, what Luke said happened? They spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit doesn't need to give you utterance to speak in French. No. You can learn that one. So, how come they heard them in their human language? They didn't hear them in multiple languages. They heard them in a single language of the Jews that they understood. Now, how come they heard it? Again, pay attention to what Luke and Peter said. Peter said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last day, said God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. There is nowhere prophesying used in the Bible for speaking multiple languages. So if you take the account of Luke and what Peter said, there's no way you will come to the conclusion that they were speaking different languages. But if you listen to, if you are confused and you listen to what the audience said, then you get the wrong theology. Who's following what I'm saying here? So they had an experience. Peter got up and spoke. Right? Now, just before we go to two examples, then we need the rest of the evening. In John 21, listen well to what I'm about to say. Verse 15, 16, and 17. Jesus turned to Simon Peter and he said, now, we are going to look at two things. In Matthew 16, he said to Peter, I will give to you the keys of the kingdom. Verse 18 and 19. Whatever you find on earth. Now, truth about the matter is that if you look at it well, it was actually given to Peter. Because on the day of Pentecost, he used it. More significantly, in John 21, right? Jesus said, Simon Peter, love not me more than this. Feed my sheep. He asked him a second time, said, Lord, I know I love you. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. So, in other words, Jesus put Peter over the others. They were not a company of friends, though. Peter was in charge. That was why he was the only one doing the talking. He appeared to Peter separately. He said, go and tell my brethren and Peter. Till today, Luke just told us that he appeared to Peter personally. We don't know what he discussed with Peter. We don't know what it was. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 5, Paul says, when Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to Peter. He singled it out again. That's what I'm saying here. He's the same Peter, unstable Peter. But he appeared to him. He didn't appear to you. So, God's choice does not look for our endorsement. And it does not change because you don't like those people. He chose Peter. So, he made Peter the pastor of the others. Feed them. Remember again, says Simon Peter, Satan decided to do that creed. He said, I have prayed for you. He didn't say, I pray for all of you. I pray for you. That your faith should not fail. When you are converted, you take care of the rest. Are you here? So, what's God's method there, Peter? If you miss Peter, you miss God. Now, I'm saying, if you're among the 12 and you miss Peter, you miss God. And then what you carry in your head is, Silas, I heard that Peter denied Jesus. He denied Jesus. Oh, that guy is my neighbor. He told me 3 times. So that Peter said, oh, that's how he bought our sword and cut out Marcus. You know, as you keep saying that you're missing God, you're going to miss God because that is the person God is going to use. is the one God is doing. If you like, know all the stories available in this world. Now you sabi. You know when God chose Saul of Tarsus? If you are not stunned, then you don't read your Bible. That the person who consented to the death of Stephen, because he was upset at what Stephen was preaching. If you don't know who preached to Stephen, who preached to Paul, you should know it by now. It's Stephen that preached to Paul. But the result of that evangelism was not good. That evangelism bore fruit later. They pie the preacher. They pie the guy. He now took letters. He was now going, putting believers in jail. People were killed. You would never have imagined that this is God's answer to the Gentile world. Who now wrote about half of the New Testament or more? If you are not stunned, then you are not a believer. Me, I'm stunned. God can use anybody. Such that, in case you thought that it was a joke, he now appeared to Ananias. He said, go to the house of Simon. There's one man there called Saul of Tarsus. He prays. He has seen you in a vision that you come and put your hands upon him. You receive his hand, you receive the Holy Ghost. Ananias said, Jesus said, any problem, Ananias? I know you have been away for a while. And because you are too spiritual, you don't watch CNN. You don't subscribe to BBC. You don't use Twitter. Just Google his name. Jesus gave him what you call mission, keep quiet. Said, go your way. He is a chosen vessel unto me. If you miss Paul, you miss God. Are you learning something here? So, which means our spiritual growth and the spiritual growth of others is tied to us. Our spiritual growth is tied to others. Our spiritual growth is tied, other spiritual growth is tied to us. Ours is tied to others. There is no self-made man. This is the core reason for the local assembly. I call the local assembly divinely orchestrated supernatural relationships that is meant to foster us into God's purpose and plan, where we must obey, submit, honor, love, forgive, nurture relationships, and in doing that, we are nurturing our walk with God. I know I was fast. I did deliberately. So, a local assembly, Power City International Church, is a divinely orchestrated supernatural relationships among believers under a spiritual leader. That's a relationship itself. Supernatural. Right? Which has the resources that is meant to nurture us, equip us, train us into God's purpose and plan. Whatever God wants to do for you, He puts it in the local assembly. I don't do church. I don't do God. They're the same thing. Notice again that, look at the book of Acts. I wanted to get somewhere, but I didn't get there. I'll get there in the evening. Look at the book of Acts. Something remarkable happened. Everything that God did in the book of Acts, men did it. Everything. To replace Judas, it was men. Peter got up, Acts 1:16, said, men and brethren, you know that the Holy Ghost by the mouth of servant David, you know, spoke concerning those who came, to take Jesus through Judas, and he went into scripture, and they chose who was going to replace Judas. Day of Pentecost, who spoke? Peter. Acts 4, they prayed. Acts 5, Peter. Acts 6 into 7, you have Stephen. Acts 8, Philip went out to Samaria to preach Christ. It was men, 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 men. Now let me show you something, what is very remarkable. Jesus appeared to Saul. There's no greater encounter like that. Jesus appeared to him. Saul said, why do you persecute me? Oh, who are thou, Lord? Why do you kick against the goats? He said, what do you have to me do? What do you have me do, Lord? He told him what to do. He went. Now, notice what happened to Paul. Jesus was talking to him directly, but Jesus put in Ananias what he needs. That means having appearances of Jesus does not do it. It was Ananias that still went to Paul and laid hands on him. Let's track back a bit, Seth. That's too far. How did Jesus start ministry? Through his cousin, second cousin. God, who is Jesus himself, put in John the Baptist what Jesus will need. Imagine if he says, I don't want to go for John's baptism meetings. That's the end of your ministry. The next chapter, Acts 10. A man by the name of Cornelius is praying, and the angel appeared to him. And he said, send for one Simon. That is, the angel couldn't carry it out. Said, go and send for someone. And they had to go to send for him. And look at some things that happened in that scenario. Cornelius is a big boy. He runs a battalion. He's like a general in the army. He now sends a battalion to go and bring Simon. When they saw Peter, what did they do? They all fell down. Which means he spoke in honor of Peter. When Peter got to the house, everybody, the whole house. So which means that, you see, we can also influence others around us with the same culture. When we do it, we are helping them. His whole house. Don't be surprised that the whole house of Cornelius got filled with the Holy Ghost. I know that his whole house includes the soldiers in his battalion. It wasn't a small number. How were they able to get that done? There was a culture that they received the man of God as a man of God. Simon Peter, to a general. And the general is bowing. In today's world, you say, human worship. Is this true Christianity? Again, two chapters after, three actually, the same Saul of Tarsus that Jesus appeared to, Acts 13:2, God spoke to the company of prophets and teachers, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I have called them. And Paul in Romans 1:1-2 used the same Greek word orizo. I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, separated to the gospel. He used that same word. Who did God use to separate Paul? Men. Now he says the Holy Ghost said. Is it that the Holy Ghost spoke into the speaker? No. It was what the men said that they said the Holy Ghost said. Separate, that means Paul's life was tied to his relationship at the church at Antioch. Does that make sense? And they laid hands on him and sent him away. And Luke said, be sent by the Holy Ghost. Who's following what I'm saying here? If you miss man, you miss God. You can't study God's word on your own. You have to be taught. That's how God did it. That's how he did it. He made us deficient by nature. We are incomplete. I'm saying with the Holy Ghost in you, you will need to be in a local assembly. You will need to be in those divine relationships. Then that is where you become complete. I went to someone's house. The person has the person's library. Ewo is a bookstore. All the authors you can imagine in the world are in the library. I think even Hare Krishna is there. Everybody be there. But the person, you don't get out. Because that is not God's plan.
Find a local assembly. Sit down there.
You won't just learn information, you will learn application. If you miss man, you miss God. And let me say this in closing. We must be very careful of technology. You know, I'm sure many of us who have been born again a few days like me, or even earlier, will know what I'm about to say. Back then, you had no option to church than to attend. Because even those who will record the tape, is only one face that the tape recorder had. To duplicate it, who knows what I'm talking about? Is one tape. So by the time like 20 people book for the tape, it could take them 1 month. So if you miss the service, that's all. So the people say, well, I'll get it online. I'll get it online. And they will never grow up. Because Christianity is not easy. Any version given to you that is easy. This is how I say it. There's someone who left church. I didn't even know he did. He was a brother to someone that I know in church. So I said, "Where's your brother? He used to attend church." I said, "He's coming here. Why is he not here?" Ah, he said that things are too difficult. That there are too many things. I said, "Okay, no problem. Let me see him." So the person asked the brother to see me. I said, "Number one, I'm not asking you to come back to church, and please don't come back. But let me tell you something. What exactly are the things that make you uncomfortable?" He said, "Not that I'm uncomfortable, just that the thing where many evangelism, follow up, going after people, praying and all that." I said, "Okay. Did you see the Bible and it is missing there?" "I know, sir, it's there." "So it is there. So you want to make me feel bad for asking you to do the word of God? You are the one that will feel bad." "I can't feel bad because I told you to do God's word. You should be feeling bad that you are not doing it." I said, "Now don't come back to church, but let me tell you something. That church you are at, while you are there, right? Today or next week when you go to church, go and tell the pastor, 'Pastor, why are you not instructing me to go for evangelism? Why are you the one praying for us? Why are we not praying in a prayer meeting? Why are we not doing follow-up? Go and ask your pastor.' Then add this to your conversation. 'Do you want me to lose my reward?'" The guy looked at me like this. I said, "Ask him that. Because anyone who offers you this brand of Christianity wants you to lose your reward. It's available, but it is not the biblical Christianity. You won't see it in the Bible. It wants you to lose your reward. Anyone who insists you go come for prayer cruise on Saturday, the person is not difficult, though. That is the person that loves you. The one that says, you know, enjoy your Christianity. Because he says, 'My yoke is easy. My burden is light. My yoke is easy.' Have you wondered what yoke is? Yoke is what ties you to someone. Right? Is what ties you. So you are tied to me. That's what it means. And it says, 'Learn of me.' So the yoke includes to be learning like this. You think his yoke is burden is light? It means that you should be taking tea and when you are fasting. So I'm taking tea, but I can take tea when I'm fasting. God is not religious. Why not just add bread? Who could make it a whole meal? I call it Holy Communion. So there are practical activities to the work of the ministry. And listen to this as I close gradually. It is in those activities that we see the demonstrations of the Spirit. I asked this question the other day. If you were God, right?
I know you can't be. And you have to give your spirit. Then you have this guy who just stays on Twitter, arguing, going to argue. Says with believers, he's arguing. Those who are saved, you want to unsave them. Arguing. Say, yeah, you're right, you're wrong. And then you have this guy, he doesn't know much. But every day, he's with the Okada man, talking to him. The little he knows in John 3:16. Goes to the marketplace, explains John 5:24. He leaves that place, explains again Romans 8:32. Just sharing those things. And then when he's done, he just begins to pray in the spirit. Lord, he doesn't get the words right, but touch their heart, enter into them, convict them, enter into their hearts. Lord, bring them to the point of repentance. And he does that every day consistently. And he begins to cry. Of the two people, who would you give your spirit to? Is it the guy that is arguing? He's late for church. When he says, let's go for evangelism, you say, ah. Which day did you choose again? Thursday evening. Ah. Why did you choose Sunday evening? That's the time I'm really available. I wish I would come, really. But some other time, I catch you later. Who would you give your spirit to? It will be the willing and obedient person who will be able to explain by practical experience what you are seeing in your teaching series. So why not have the teaching and the experience? Which one I'm saying here? You are laid back. You know about prayer. Prosikomai. Deisis. ITO. You explain it. What's that one for intercession? Is it heterodexis? You explain it. You see, when we pray like that, we make tremendous power available. But you are yet to pray. You have not prayed, though. No? Say, let us pray. They take the microphone. Rabba, no. Rabba. Abba. Abba, Father. And there's somebody who does not know rights in Christ, but says, oh God, reach the nations, send your spirit, give us your spirit. You say, nonsense, he doesn't give his spirit, he has given his spirit. No, you that he has given his spirit to, what have you used it? Robo, Zaba, 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 go. So they gave you spirit of slumber. Remember we said the first day and yesterday, a key part is availability. I'll close now. The Christian walk is not an easy experience. There are things you must give up. And in case you think it's in your past, I know, I've done my sufferings, so I've done my sufferings before. There's nothing like that. Paul said, I have kept the faith. You have to keep keeping on. Look at this morning. This is Christian living. Many of us had to take permission at work. You left your luxury. You came very early. This is exemplary Christian living. But now, we must multiply this. We must multiply what we are doing this morning. We must multiply it. What we are doing this morning. And some people even came from another state to be here. That is Christian living. That is exemplary Christian living. Those are the people we celebrate, not the person that bought a car. When they say, come and share testimony, is look at this brother. He's ill. I told someone something. I said, look at this person. The person couldn't walk with the two legs, a lady, and she was bent like this. I said, look at how she's praying. Look at how she's intentional. This is actually the testimony. People know what I'm saying. This is the testimony. That's the testimony.
that someone, in spite of his or her hardship,
is pressing on. That is the testimony.
Not, brethren, come and join me in Galilee. I used to fly economy, and now I have my own private jet. What's that? What's that? That's not a testimony now. That's not a testimony. That's not the testimony of the faith. But brethren, you know, they wanted to offer me promotion, and the boss said I should sleep with him, and I said no. No, I can't soil my Christian testimony. That is the testimony. Brother, yesterday it was raining heavily. I went after this guy. He showed me pepper. By the end of the day, I gave him tomato and he got born again. That is the testimony. Not hallelujah, brother. You know, when I go to this church, Baba, thank you so much. I was a clerk, sir. But now, when I tapped into the grace, if you tap into his own grace, you won't stay in one place. You will not be resting. That's really tapping into his grace. I tapped into the grace, and you know, everything just became very easy. I now talk to governors, I talk to the devil. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet and pray in the Holy Ghost. And recommit ourselves to the work of the ministry.